Time now for your comments. Many of you responded to our interview with Frances Townsend, Assistant to the President for Homeland Security. Steve asked her questions about a report that finds al-Qaeda getting stronger, and Jerry Brownice was listening in Oak Park, Illinois.
I really appreciated his persistent questioning, which so well revealed her inability to respond to the government report. Her verbal dancing around would have been laughable were it not such a tragedy.
In Branson, Missouri, Linda Lewis was unhappy that I quoted Townsend and that intelligence report, both of which referred to protecting the homeland. She would rather that people say the U.S. or America. And she contends that by quoting other people's use of homeland, I was buying into the word. I wasn't alive during World War II, she writes, but I associate the homeland with Nazi propaganda. It's fascistic and offensive.
Many listeners also wrote in about our colleague Renee Montaigne's interview with Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards. They were talking about Edwards' platform to end poverty in America when Renee asked him this.
When you stake out the high ground on an issue like poverty, you open yourself up to accusations of hypocrisy. And in this case, you've been criticized for living in an expensive mansion, for getting a very expensive $400 haircut.
Mary Severance of Berkeley, California writes, many of the criticisms cited by Ms. Montaigne are patently absurd. What do haircuts have to do with anything? And where is the logic behind the insinuation that a wealthy person cannot be genuinely concerned about the poor? What about FDR, she writes, or the Kennedys, or Lyndon Johnson?
Gordon Spears of Orlando, Florida, wrote about my interview with writer Sarah Bongiorni. She attempted to live for an entire year without buying products made in China. Turns out several NPR listeners have attempted similar experiments, and Spears is one of them.
He writes, my boycott started with the Tiananmen Square massacre, and over the years, my determination to buy absolutely nothing from China has hardened. As Ms. Bongiorni found, this is increasingly difficult to do, but with perseverance and a few good mail-order outlets, which actually include the country of origin in their catalogs, it is possible to maintain a modern lifestyle.
Finally, Jeff Bodenweiser of Salem, Oregon, writes to say our piece on a new method for preserving old records was music to his ears. The technology enables users to transfer recorded sound from antique records using digital images of the grooves. Bodenweiser owns about 40 long-playing records, including some vintage John Philip Sousa recordings he's been unable to put on a CD.
And he writes that the new technology, quote, will bring back voices and bands and orchestras not heard since the passing of the original performers.
Your voice is always welcome here. You can let us know what you think by going to npr.org and clicking Contact Us.